This morning on the program, I want to talk about the popular expression that is found in the religious world. It is actually an expression that is taken from the New Testament, but it is also popularized in a way that is not according to the New Testament, and that is the statement, calling on the name of the Lord. A lot of times religious individuals, TV evangelists and other ministers will talk about how that you need to call on the name of the Lord in order to be saved. You might be listening to a radio program or watching a TV program, and someone will say, if you'll call on the name of the Lord right now, you can be saved. What does that phrase mean? It's found in Romans 10. It's found in Acts chapter 2 and other places. What does the phrase mean, calling on the name of the Lord? How do we do that? There's a lot of emphasis placed today upon this phrase in the religious world. But unfortunately, it is greatly misunderstood. And while we appreciate radio personalities and TV evangelists trying to encourage people to be right with God, we need to make sure that we're telling people the right way and the proper way. The issue is not, should it be done? We need to call upon the name of the Lord. But how is it done? What does it mean and what is involved in calling on the name of the Lord? So we hope that our study this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program will be helpful along these lines. I would encourage you to get out your Bible and we'll look at this statement together and learn what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. And maybe, friend, that's something that you need to do. You need to call on the name of the Lord in order to be saved. And we can help you to do that very thing. What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Well, first of all, it does not mean simply saying Jesus' name. I think about in Acts chapter 19, when Paul was in the city of Ephesus and he was healing people miraculously through his power. We find in Acts chapter 19 and verse 13, but certain also of the strolling Jews, exorcists took upon them to name over them that had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, Jew, a chief priest, who did this. And the evil spirit answered and said unto them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and mastered both of them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Here is an individual who was just simply saying Jesus to try to get evil spirits out, and the evil spirit ended up conquering him. So it's not just simply saying the name Jesus. Neither is it saying that Jesus is Lord. Lord, Lord. You may recall when Jesus was preaching in the story of the account of the Sermon on the Mount. There in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 7, 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, the judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. When Jesus said, I never knew you, he didn't mean mental knowledge. He was talking about approval. They are not in a right relationship with him, and they're going to be told to depart. They're not going to be able to go into heaven. And Jesus said, you that work iniquity or lawlessness. They were saying, Lord, Lord. They were making a statement in recognizing Jesus and who he was. But that's not enough just to say some words. Obedience is necessary. Jesus said, he that doeth, that's action, he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. So calling on the name of the Lord is not merely saying Jesus. Jesus, save me. It's not that. It's not recognizing that Jesus is Lord. We do need to recognize him as Lord and Savior of our life. We need to act in accordance to Jesus being our Lord and our lawgiver. But just simply saying that does not get us saved. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" So it's more than just saying Jesus' name and recognizing that Jesus is our Lord. We have to do what He says. Friends, what has happened in the religious world is there have been a lot of individuals who have taught from the days of John Calvin onward for the last 500 years that people are saved by faith alone. And that's unfortunate. The Scripture doesn't teach that. The Scripture teaches that faith has an obedient component to it. Faith obeys. But many have taught that faith is just simply a mental assent, a mental acknowledgement that there is a God and that Jesus is His Son. And that alone, just acknowledging that Jesus is a Savior, that alone saves them at that moment. We're going to read an example of that in just a minute. From a well-known denominational preacher. But that's not what the Scripture teaches. In James chapter 2, verse 24, you see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith. When I read in my Bible about faith and only, the word "not" is in front of it. Not only by faith. And then James goes on to say two verses later, faith without works is dead. Not all works are what God wants. There are works of the flesh and works of the devil and works of darkness. There are a number of kinds of works, things that we do that are wrong, and we should not be doing those things. But then there are, for example, in Acts chapter 10, when Peter was preaching to Cornelius, "He that worketh righteousness." When we work and obey what God wants us to do, that is the obedience that God wants. Sometimes people will read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "not by works." And they mean by that, not by doing anything at all, anywhere, anytime. But Paul is talking about those works by which we try to save ourselves. No, we're not saved by those works. But we are saved by working righteousness. Acts 10, 34 and 35. So somebody sold the religious world a bill of goods. John Calvin and others that were saved by faith alone. And so many people have bought into that, and they equate that faith alone with calling on the name of the Lord. So when you call on the name of the Lord, you just simply say, "Save me, Jesus." And at that very moment, He saves you. No, that's not what the Scripture teaches, as we're going to see in today's program. So calling on the name of the Lord is not just merely saying Jesus. We saw that from Acts 19. It's not merely recognizing Jesus as Lord. We saw that from Matthew 7 and Luke 6. It's not faith only. We saw that from James chapter 2. And neither is it praying the sinner's prayer. We hear that all the time today in the religious world. Just pray the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. And yet not one person was ever told in the New Testament to pray the sinner's prayer. Not one person was told in the New Testament to pray anything in order to be saved. Let me read to you one very popular example from a very popular denominational preacher who would hold large campaigns and rallies in years gone by. He put out a booklet called Steps to Peace with God. And step number 4, he called our response to receive Christ. And he wrote this, quote, "We can receive Jesus Christ when we believe in his message and trust in him alone to save us." Then he goes on to say, how to receive Christ. Number one, admit your need. I am a sinner. Number two, be willing to turn from your sins. Repent. Number three, believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. Number four, through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. Receive him as your Savior. So here is the well-known and the famous Pray the Sinner's Prayer. Now, then he goes on to say what to pray. What are we supposed to pray? He says, quote, pray this, quote, "Dear Jesus, I know that I am sinful and I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died to pay the penalty for my sin. I want to turn from my sin nature and follow you instead. I invite you to come into my heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen." He goes on to say we have God's assurance. He says, if you sincerely prayed this prayer and asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, do you know what he has given you? The Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. And we're going to read that later. But notice how he's equating calling on the name of the Lord with praying the sinner's prayer. He tells you the sinner's prayer to pray. And then he says, if you've prayed this prayer, do you know what God has given you? He's given you salvation. And then he quoted Romans 10:13, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So he's equating whosoever calls on the name of the Lord with praying the sinner's prayer. And then he goes on to say, when you receive Christ, you are born into God's family through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, who indwells every believer. This is called regeneration or new birth. God bless you as you begin your wonderful new life in Christ. So, you just simply pray, Lord Jesus, I believe you. I believe you died. I want to turn from my sins. I invite you into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And at that moment, you're saved. And it's the same thing as calling on the name of the Lord. So, this morning, I want us to examine that. Is that what is being taught in the Scripture? We know that that's being taught all over the religious world, but is it taught in Scripture? Let's start right there in Romans chapter 10 with the quotation that this individual made from Romans 10:13. And let's notice, first of all, this morning, friends, that calling on the name of the Lord, if you back up a few verses and you go below verse 13, you'll find that calling on the name of the Lord comes after there's been preaching, hearing, believing, confessing, calling, and obeying. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 13 talks about calling on the name of the Lord. But back up to verse 8, where Paul is talking about how someone can be saved in Christ. Romans 10 verse 8, but what saith it? The word is near you, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. We cannot have faith in Jesus until we've heard the preaching of the gospel. And a lot of these people that are being told to pray the sinner's prayer, they've never heard any preaching of the gospel. They don't read their Bible. They've never heard the preaching of God's word. They just hear somebody say, pray the sinner's prayer, and they say it, and they're told that they're saved. Paul says, it's the preaching, that is, the word of faith which we preach. We're going to see later in verse 17, faith comes by hearing God's word. So notice preaching in verse 8. Verse 9, because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all and rich unto all that call upon him. For, and then the quotation from Joel 2:32, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? We have to believe first. And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? We have to hear before we believe. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Before we can hear, there needs to be preaching. And before there's preaching, somebody has to be sent out to preach. Even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. But they did not all hearken to the glad tidings, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Notice that in verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But there are some prerequisites to that. There are some things that come before that. Preaching, hearing, believing, confessing, obeying, all of that's a part of calling upon the name of the Lord. So it was never limited to simply a brief sinner's prayer or faith only. There has to be the preaching. You have to hear the preaching of God's word. And it includes those things that are found in God's word, not just simply what a preacher is telling us. Let's look at the second place in the New Testament where this is found. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, when Peter is preaching the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. Notice that there's preaching here. In Acts chapter 2, Peter and the other apostles are gathered in Jerusalem preaching to those on the day of Pentecost. And Peter stands up and preaches. And let's read in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. He's explaining why the apostles are speaking in tongues. And Peter says in Acts 2:16, but this speaking in tongues is that which has been spoken through the prophet Joel. Joel prophesied ahead of time in Joel chapter 2, some 800 years before the time of Christ, that there would be this event on the day of Pentecost. Peter says in Acts 2:17, quoting Joel, and it shall be in the last days, saith God, I will pour forth of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my servants and on my handmaids in those days will I pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. That's what these men were doing as they were preaching and prophesying on the day of Pentecost. They were doing that because they had been filled with the Spirit, verse 4. All of this was in fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Verse 19, Acts 2:19. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord come, that great and notable day. And it shall come, and it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, starting in verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. He preaches unto them Jesus of Nazareth. The first thing he talks about is his death, how they had just crucified him 50 days earlier on the cross, verses 22, 23, and 24. How that God raised him from the dead, verses 24 through 32. And then, after he was raised from the dead, he ascended back to sit at the right hand of God, verse 33 down through 36. So the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ. He's reigning at the right hand of God when Peter is preaching this sermon, and he's still reigning there today. Now notice verse 36, Acts 2:36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent ye and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. They then that received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and the prayers. Notice, friends, that Peter preached in verse 21, And it shall be that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he preached to them. Remember back in Romans 10, how can they call on someone in whom they have not heard and believed, and there's been preaching? And so here there has been preaching, there's been hearing, and there's been believing, because in verse 37 they said, What must we do? And so Peter is going to tell them how to call on the name of the Lord. And he doesn't tell them to pray the sinner's prayer. He doesn't say, accept Jesus as your personal Savior in your heart. He doesn't say any of those kinds of things that are said today by many pastors and reverends and preachers and ministers and priests and so forth. What he says is, in verse 38, Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins. I want you to notice the parallel with me this morning between verse 21 and verse 38. Get out your Bibles and open up to Acts 2:21, and then also look at Acts 2:38. Notice, first of all, in verse 21, And it shall be that whosoever, notice Peter says, whosoever. And then down in verse 38, he says, Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you. Notice that whosoever matches up with every one of you. And then, in verse 21, whosoever shall call upon the name, shall call. Notice how that matches up with repent ye and be baptized, every one of you. To call on the name of the Lord is to appeal to the Lord for his salvation and what he wants us to do. Lord, you tell me what you want us to do. And Peter is doing that. The Lord is speaking through Peter. That's the whole point of them preaching and being filled with the Holy Spirit. They're preaching the Lord's plan of salvation. Whosoever matches up with every one of you. Call on the name matches up with repent and be baptized. And then, number three, Peter says, on the name of the Lord. That matches up in verse 38 with in the name of Jesus Christ. And then last of all, Peter says in verse 21, shall be saved. That matches up in verse 38 with unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift that is promised, verse 39, for to you is the promise. It's the promise of salvation that goes back to verse 21. And so, whosoever matches up with every one of you, call on the name, matches up with repent and be baptized. The name of the Lord matches up with in the name of Jesus Christ, and shall be saved matches up with unto the remission of your sins. You see, friends, let the Bible explain itself. Let God explain himself, what he means by call on the name of the Lord. They were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And we find that they did that very thing in verse 41. They that gladly received his word were baptized. And so that's what you need to do today, friends. You need to hear the preaching of the gospel. And if that's something where we need to study more, let's do that. Be glad to study with you. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess that Jesus is the Christ. You need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's calling on the name of the Lord in the right way, the biblical way, the way that Peter would tell you to do it, not some preacher today. Peter never told the people to pray the sinner's prayer or to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. He told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins. So, the issue is not, do we need to do it? Of course we should do it. Of course we should call upon the name of the Lord. The issue is, how is it done? The hearing, the preaching of God's word, the hearing of that word, the believing, the confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the repenting of our sins, and being baptized for the remission of our sins. Turn with me to Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. When Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, was in the city of Damascus, he was told to go there by the Lord, and it would be told him what he must do. Ananias goes and talks with him. And in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on his name." Notice the word calling, ing. The continuous action. That is how it is done. The calling is what was done in the being baptized and washing away the sins. Be baptized and wash away your sins. How? Calling on his name. Calling on his name involves being baptized and washing away our sins. So calling on the name of the Lord. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. Clearly, calling on his name involves arising and being baptized and washing away the sins. And that's what you need to do, friend. And that's what I need to do. That's what all of us need to do. Whosoever. And that's the beautiful thing about it. Look at that statement. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a beautiful statement for all of us. Look at the first word, whosoever. That means that salvation is universal in scope. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter what we do. We can be saved. And it's calling on the name of Jesus and shall be saved, the certainty of that. Friends, we're glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, and we hope that this study has helped us to better understand what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Thank you for joining us this morning, and have a good day.